love is gentle, faithful, swift, passionate, blind, and wondrous. All these are faces of love. In a moment, young Kate Wakefield, venturing into today's world of confusing freedoms, brought to you by Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol.
Mystery meat again. The food hasn't changed since the last time I was in college, but I have. 12 years later, 12 gray hairs. The only gray hairs in the entire class. So, I tried Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It has no peroxide, just covers up gray without changing your natural color. Loving Care made my hair softer and shinier, and two boys wanted my number.
Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It's good for your hair.
This is what aerosol hairspray sounds like. This is what Final Net sounds like. The big difference in the way they sound is the big difference in the way they work. Final Net is not an aerosol. It's concentrated to give you a great long-lasting hold. There are no wasteful propellants. That makes it economical, too. 8 ounces of Final Net go as far as 24 ounces of aerosol hairspray. You get a great hold at a great price. Final Net, the first sensible alternative to aerosol hairspray.
Is it cold outside? Well, Jeff.
Greetings.
It sure looks natural to see you sitting in the lobby of the studio club again.
Trudy, what's happened to this place?
Well, it's the same as it ever was.
Yeah, it's as dead as a pool parlor before breakfast.
Oh, that's your mistake, boy. It isn't a pool parlor. The kids who live here are over on the campus boning for exams. You know, you ought to try one sometime.
I thought you were glad to have me back.
I am. But I don't know what to do about you.
How about darning a sock for me?
Oh, I'll do that, too. Oh, Jeff, but if I'd had your opportunity...
You'd be where I am today.
Yeah.
Where's Kate?
Kate? Oh, she had an important appointment.
Important, huh? I got a message for her.
Well, she won't be back for a while. Better put it in her box.
Nope, I took this one. I want to deliver it in person.
So you're going to wait here until she gets in?
I get sick of my room.
Well, you don't have to stay in it, Jeff. There's a big college campus just one block away.
Trudy, if you're going to sound like my father, I'm going to put on my earmuffs. See, I got blue ones. Now, red ones look warmer, but blue ones shut out the sound better.
Oh, Jeff, for heaven's sake.
What'd you say?
I said there's no fool like a young fool.
I heard that. But they really work. I keep them in my pocket for emergencies.
Well, Jeff, I wouldn't hang around for Kate now. She may be a while.
I got a while. Want to know what her message is?
No, I don't.
From old Pinstripes.
Tony?
Yes, Ruffles and Flourishes.
Oh, but Tony's in Paris.
Not at 5:10, he wasn't. He called from the airport. I said I'd be happy not to deliver any message.
Oh, Jeff, you didn't.
But that didn't stop old Pinstripes. He said he'd be up here as soon as he got into the city.
Oh, Lord, Jeff.
Wrong again, Earth Mother?
Well, I think I'd better tell you a few facts of life.
Ooh, goody. Here, or shall we go someplace more private?
Now, I'm not joking. Now, a few things have changed since you took off.
Is Kate still seeing him?
Well, you better stop calling him old Pinstripes, at least to her.
Oh. Sounds like that, huh?
Oh, I've never seen her happier, Jeff.
Okay. So what about his wife?
Well, you know about Claire.
I looked the guy up. Social register, he hasn't made that. Dun & Bradstreet financial rating, very good. Police blotter, no record, yet. Wife, Claire, Foothammer, or...
What?
I don't remember her maiden name.
Jeff, you'd better cool it about Tony. Now, he's a good guy.
Yeah, but I wouldn't want to marry him.
Well, he's good for Kate.
Then why isn't he around helping her out?
Out of what?
Oh, come on, Trudy. Kate isn't some kind of jam. I heard that tape recording of a dead husband's voice.
Yeah, she told me you discovered it had been altered.
Yeah, cut, patched, edited. Sure, I could hear it. Bad job, too.
Well, what did you make of it?
Well, somebody is out to frame her. We're scared to death.
Oh, boy.
You talk about her being so happy. Well, why doesn't old Pinstripes, Mr. Cushing, move in on that?
Because he doesn't know anything about it.
In my book, that's what a good guy's for.
In Kate's book, maybe she wants a new life. Maybe she doesn't want anybody mixed up with, well, what's been past.
So I'm wrong again?
No, Jeff. You've just got to live a little longer. Kate had a bad time in her first marriage.
Doesn't everybody?
Or she's going to work out of it herself. If you don't believe me, I'll tell you where she is right now.
Where?
Claire, Tony Cushing's wife, wanted to see Kate at her hotel.
And she's gone there?
Give her credit, Jeff. Kate's got guts.
I'm a homemaker, and I work part-time, too, so I get my share of headaches. But I don't take aspirin. It can irritate my stomach. So I've used Tylenol. It's easier on my stomach. Then I learned about Daytrol. I compared labels and couldn't find any difference. Daytrol has the same pain reliever, no aspirin. Daytrol's just as effective as Tylenol. So now I compare prices and buy the one that costs less. Why spend more?
Daytrol, from Bristol-Myers. Ask your doctor about it.
If I had a nickel for every minute I've spent in a dirty oven, scraping and scrubbing, oh, I'd be living in Fort Knox.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Oh, come on.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night. And while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
Really?
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
Well, Mr. Muscle really sounds like a good man to wake up to.
I've had tea set up, Kate, but if you'd rather have a cocktail or sherry...
Oh, I'd love a sherry, Claire.
Oh, well, I'll join you. We'll have tea, too. Do you like your sherry sweet or dry?
Very dry, thank you.
Oh, I don't seem to have the very dry.
Oh, well, then tea will be nice.
You have city tastes, my dear.
No, my husband's father always had sherry on hand. He prided himself on his wine cellar.
Really? Tony never knew much about wines until I said if he were going to be an important executive, he must catch up. We made several trips to the wine countries.
Milk or lemon? Lemon, and a small sugar.
Mm-hmm. Here we are. Well, it's nice to see you again. We met so briefly.
Yes, didn't we?
And I liked you at once. I said to myself, there's a girl with great potential.
I'm not sure I've ever been told that before.
Oh, but you have, my dear. It's undeveloped, but then you are very young.
Claire, why did you ask me here today?
For the same reason that you came. We have a good deal to talk about, you and I.
Yes, if you mean Tony.
You're very direct, and I like that. Of course I mean Tony. He's very much interested in you.
He's been a very kind friend.
Oh, come, Kate. I expect something more original than that and more honest. Are you in love with my husband?
I'll be honest if you will. Is Tony your husband?
If you weren't such a charming girl, I'd consider that impertinent. Yes, Tony is my husband. Would you like to see our marriage license?
No, of course not. You see, I had been brought up to believe that a husband and wife lived together.
I think that's charming. It's also old-fashioned.
Is it?
You see, that's what I meant when I said you had potential, but you simply haven't developed yet. You're talking like a schoolgirl. Marriage doesn't mean staying under the same roof every day, being a bedfellow every night. Women are finding they can be freer than that. Don't you accept that?
I believe women should be free to do the most with their lives that they can.
Bravo!
But when it comes to marriage, isn't there something called love?
Oh, darling, of course there is. That's the little romantic glow that gets you into it in the first place. When it's over, if you're lucky, you have a practical working arrangement, such as Tony and I have.
Claire, were you in love with Tony when you married him?
We knew we'd have a marvelous time together for a while.
And that's what Tony wanted.
That's what Tony needed, Kate. A domestic wife would have held him back. Also, bored.
A woman can be interesting as well as domestic.
Were you?
My marriage was a little different, Claire. My husband was ill. In the 5 years we were married, I never left him.
Well, my dear, it shows.
What shows?
Your whole attitude toward men. They're here to be served, to be taken care of.
Claire, I wouldn't walk out on anyone who needed me.
But now you've fallen in love with a man who says he needs you. I'm sure Tony has said that.
And why do you make it sound ridiculous?
Because, darling, it is ridiculous. I'm sure Tony has said he wants to marry you.
And if I were fool enough to give him a divorce, he probably would.
Claire, did you ask me here to tell me that?
I asked you here to get to know you, Kate. I had to. Tony is being much too serious about you.
Well, then why not talk to him about it, not me?
Kate, I've tried to keep this little visit civilized and objective. But, my dear girl, you know nothing about Tony. He would make you a dreadful husband.
I think I'll have to decide that.
You'd run an even greater danger.
And what's that?
Tony gets bored easily, my dear. And that's the one thing I never let happen.
Well, I'll remember that, Claire. I really must go.
Please, Kate, just a minute. Hello? Tony! What are you doing back? Uh-huh. Did Paris bore you? Oh, darling, I can't talk to you now. Kate's here. She's just leaving. We had a wonderful time. Bye-bye. Oh, he is so upset, Kate. He's in the protective phase about you.
You've made your point, Claire.
No. I've been merely chatting. Now I'll tell you the real reason you have to give up any idea of Tony Cushing.
Faces of Love has been brought to you by Final Net. Gives your hair a great long-lasting home. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse. Studio presents the radio dramatization of William Makepeace Thackeray's classic novel, Vanity Fair, the story of the clever and charming adventuress, Becky Sharp. In a moment, our author, Mr. Thackeray. The Author's Studio is brought to you by Ban Roll-On, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant.
Say, did you know that a 1.5-ounce bottle of Ban Roll-On antiperspirant costs about the same, yet lasts longer than most 5 or 6-ounce sprays? Listen to this. Averaging 2 seconds of spray per application each side each day, the longest-lasting of the leading antiperspirant sprays will give you 37 days of protection. On the average, Ban Roll-On will give you 51 days. That's 38% longer. And tests have shown that Ban Roll-On will help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Ban Roll-On, so economical, yet so effective.
Hi, I'm Sandy Wright. In 1966, I was in a Miss Clairol commercial. Then it was, does she or doesn't she? Today, she still does. I love my hair. After 9 years, yes, 9 years of using Miss Clairol cream formula, it's in great condition. Terrific body, easy to manage, and if I have any gray, who knows?
Miss Clairol cream formula. It's the hair color professionals use. The best it can be, at any price. Look for Miss Clairol to know you're the best you can be.
Dear friends, good day to you and welcome to Vanity Fair from its author, William Makepeace Thackeray. You know, there are times when it's a pleasure to be an author and other times a burden. Today, a pleasure, I think. Often, as all seems going well, an obstacle appears, characters stumble, and all is a shambles again. Well, we shall see as this chapter unfolds. Come with me to Queen's Crawley, to Sir Pitt. This night, how cast down is that old baronet alone in the Queen's bedchamber, swigging brandy, which does not lift his spirits. To him, it is Becky's bedchamber. Since she departed, he has formed the habit of coming here as to a shrine. Here, Becky still seems to be, and he talks to the pretty girl who is not there.
God's honor me knees to you, Becky. Never on me knees to no one in me life before. Offered you all me worldly goods. Come back to Queen's Crawley, Becky. Come back and be Lady Crawley. Come back as me wife.
I can't, Sir Pitt. I can't. I am already married.
Marriage? Married. Wait now, wait. Maybe she lied. Not to hurt me feelings, lied. Why ever would she consent to wed a burnt-out old stump of a man like me? Miss Becky, did you lie?
Yes, Sir Pitt, 'twas a lie. I didn't want to hurt your pride.
You listen to me, Becky Sharp. That's burnt-out, no, dummy. Good as any young buck in England. Good as Rawdon I am. By Tad, good as me son. I'll go back to London, tell her I ain't burnt out. Winner yet I will. Come back, Becky. Come back and be Lady Crawley.
Oh, thank you, Sir Pitt. I dearly would love to be Lady Crawley.
Would you now, little Becky? You'll be the finest lady in England, in all the British Empire. How I'll dance to your tune. Miss Lady Crawley, Becky, ask what you want, ask.
Diamond. Rubies, emeralds, a king's ransom.
The lot, all yours.
A gold carriage.
Yes.
Travel the world round.
We're off.
I can't, Sir Pitt. I'm already married.
Damn. Oh, broke me bottle. No more to drink. No more Becky. May as well be dead and buried alongside her ladyship. To her ladyship. Oh, Becky. You could have been a third ladyship. Married that soldier fella, did you? What was it, Becky said? Didn't want to tell me who she went. Pulled it out of her, I did. Remember all of it now.
Yes, Gordy. I married Gordy.
And the fella's left you, has he?
Left me?
The rascal's run off, admit it.
Yes, he's left me.
Becky, do you want him? Want the gormless lickspittle? Want I should bring him back? Do anything for little Becky Sharp. Horsewhip him. Then bring him back. What else, Becky, say? Can't remember. Oh, yes.
Sir Pitt, I beg, I implore, I entreat you not to tell Miss Crawley.
By damn, why should I do what Becky wants after what she'd done to me? Go up to London, tell Matilda. Serve Miss Upstart, sassy, witted Becky Wright. Go up to London. Forget what for, but bound to go. Good night, Miss Becky. Good night.
Why ever did I imagine this would be a pleasurable chapter? Let us hope, whilst there still is hope, that Sir Pitt, when he wakes, will not recollect his vow to go up to London to, what? Which? Propose again to Becky, horsewhip and bring back Gordy Lickspittle, tell Matilda Becky is married, or, all three. Who knows what that stump of an old man will do, for he is assuredly not, in some ways, burnt out. Dear listeners, I am somewhat burnt out myself, but I shall be back. Mr. Sedley cautioned Becky not to delay telling Miss Crawley of her marriage to Rawdon. But she must wait till Rawdon returns. Will he today? Becky thinks so, hopes so, prays so. This morning, both she and Giles at a window in their room peer up and down the street, up and down.
Giles, if one more soldier, one more, rides up the street or down the street, I shall fling myself out this window.
And what if the one more be Mr. Rawdon?
Oh, you know what I mean.
Oh, yes, ma'am, I do. I could throw me own self out.
Sister Anne, do you see anyone coming?
Oh, Miss Becky, what did you call me?
Oh, never mind. It's an old fairy tale or something. I must have Rawdon to myself before Miss Crawley knows he's here. She'll keep him with her for hours.
Oh, will you and him tell her this very day that you're Mrs. Captain Rawdon?
I wish we could. I'm afraid we can't.
We have to plan very carefully every word we'll say. It's just I long to see him alone. My husband for one night and then he was gone. The moment we see him ride up, I'll fly down the stairs before he rings the bell. Then she won't know he's here.
Oh, luckily she's watching out the window, same as us.
Oh, yes. I'm bound to go in there and distract her so she won't. You watch here. Don't dare leave your post by the window. The moment you see him, fly down, let him in, come upstairs, say to me, what will get me out of her room?
Oh, I'll say, Miss Becky, your husband's down in the parlor.
No, I decided that's not funny. Say, Miss Becky, there's someone to see you.
Who?
I don't know who. Just say it.
But she'll ask who. And who will I say who is?
Why does everything have to be so hard?
And that ain't half. Like that Miss Briggs will see him before anyone.
No, she won't. She's gone to visit her cousin for the day. Now, I'll go across to Miss Crawley's sitting room, and when Rawdon comes, if he comes, you say what I told you to say.
You didn't say what I'm to say. Who be it downstairs to see you?
Giles! Oh. Down the street, look! Rawdon! Riding Hector! No other soldier in the Empire rides like that. Oh, Rawdon, my own, don't. Don't let your auntie have seen you.
Down the stairs, to the door, open the door, into the guardsman's arms, into the parlor, close the door, back into the guardsman's arms. Words? Oh, what words? Who needs words? There are the lovers. There are Mr. and Mrs. Rawdon Crawley clasped in each other's arms when... Oh, no.
Miss Becky!
Giles!
Oh, I'm so terrible sorry, Mr. Rawdon.
Then close the door and go away and stay away for at least 24 hours.
Oh, Rawdon, beloved, I know why she's here.
Miss Crawley, she's seen him come. She wants him this minute.
24 seconds, I'm allowed. The devil with her. Close the door and go away.
Dearest, you don't know what's happened.
You've happened. You're in my arms. Go away, Giles.
We can't take any chances.
Out, Giles.
Not anger your auntie in any way.
Dad, she can wait 5 minutes, 10 minutes.
It's more important than ever it was.
Becky, leave off talking.
Oh, go to her and I'll see you after.
I'm damned if I leave my wife.
Oh, you don't understand.
Understand, I'm your husband.
Miss Crawley, please.
Understand, I've been without you 3 days, 3 nights, 3 eternities.
Rawdon, please kiss me one more time and go.
Oh, my darling.
Miss Becky, she's coming down the stairs.
She never comes downstairs.
Stand away. Talk naturally.
Can't. Won't. Damn.
Two's company, three's the crowd. For the confounded multitude. It's possible, probable, as who could blame him, the bridegroom will confess all here and now. Let the chips, that is Miss Crawley's money, fall where it may. Tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen, oblige your obliging servant, William Makepeace Thackeray. Brought to you by Natural Wear Miss Clairol. To know you're the best you can be.
This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
It's not nice to eavesdrop, but it's fun. So let's check in on the comedy of errors at the Baxter. On the little things in life. Brought to you by Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol.
I'm a homemaker and I work part-time too, so I get my share of headaches. But I don't take aspirin. It can irritate my stomach. So I've used Tylenol. It's easier on my stomach. Then I learned about Daytrol. I compared labels and couldn't find any difference. Daytrol has the same pain reliever, no aspirin. Daytrol's just as effective as Tylenol. So now I compare prices and buy the one that costs less. Why spend more?
Daytrol, from Bristol-Myers. Ask your doctor about it.
Do you think all antiperspirants are basically the same? Well, Ban Roll-On antiperspirant may just change your mind.
Take effectiveness, for instance. Tests have shown that Ban Roll-On Antiperspirant will actually help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Make your own test soon. Pick up a bottle of Ban Roll-On, and you may discover what we've shown in tests. Ban Roll-On Antiperspirant. Proof that not all antiperspirants are created equal.
Now, Bob, I called the doctor, and he said if your ankle was still that swollen, that you should still take it easy.
Well, I don't like staying away from the office so long.
2 days. 2 days last week, and now one more day. What are you complaining about? And Maggie and I are the ones to complain. We haven't known how to entertain you.
Have I been such a bad patient?
No, dear. Just you don't want to be left alone. And I really haven't gotten much housework done.
Oh, so what? You keep the house too clean anyway, as Debbie always says.
You know what I think we should do today?
What?
Well, since you can get around a bit better now, why don't we go out to the garage and see how we can fix up an apartment upstairs for Aunt Maggie?
I think we'd better do a bit of talking about that before we make any decisions.
It was all decided last week.
Nothing was decided.
Yes, it was. Now, we don't want Aunt Maggie going back to Montana.
Yes, yes, yes. I know that. But we all get very emotional, and I think we should review the whole project in the cold light of day.
Oh, honey, we're not too emotional. In fact, we were talking about it the same time of day as this, as I recall.
Okay, okay. The fact remains that if Aunt Maggie goes back to Montana, sells her house, and she pays for fixing over the upstairs of our garage, then we get into financial problems.
Aunt Maggie said she'd have the money if she sold her house so she could pay for doing over the garage.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's all very well. But if she pays for it and we own the house and the garage, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
What's that, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera mean?
Honey, it gets a little sticky legally.
Well, we want Aunt Maggie to be here with us. She wants her own place. She's lonesome in that big house in Montana. She wants to live here with us. And if she wants to stay here, and she's willing to pay for fixing up the garage apartment, why should we have to get all embroiled in legalities?
I don't know. But I have a feeling we ought to look into the matter before we plunge ahead.
Don't you want Aunt Maggie to be with us?
Yes!
Well, then we'll be able to solve the problems. It can't be that formidable.
Well, it isn't only the legalities. If Aunt Maggie is paying for all the reconstruction, the decorating, etc., but we own the place, who decides what is what?
I don't know what that sentence means, who decides what is what. What is what?
Well, who decides how we want the upstairs apartment in the garage done?
Well, how much is there to decide? It would be one big room with a bath.
Yeah, yeah. Have you asked Aunt Maggie what she wants?
Well, what else could she want? I mean, there's just so much room there, dear.
Well, before this whole perfect idea, as you put it, or the perfect solution, I'd like to see what Aunt Maggie had in mind.
Oh,
Carpenters, plumbers, electricians these days.
Well, I know, they're expensive. I know
that. No, it isn't only expensive. It's trying to get them, to get everything to dovetail. I talked to Chuck Wibley at the post office last week, and he said some friend of his had ordered a prefab house, and it was delivered, and there it sits, without the foundation, because the men who were supposed to dig the foundation had never shown up.
Well, we don't need a foundation, Doug.
Sweetheart, that's not the point. We have to put in a bathroom. Before we get that even figured out, we don't want the bathtub and the sink and the toilet delivered and sitting around in our front yard while the plumbers are still trying to figure out where the pipes go, providing we can even get the plumbers.
That's what I mean. Are you really are pessimistic about this?
If Aunt Maggie decides she wants to go through with this, do you have any idea what our next few months are going to be like?
I hope you're not going to express any of these negative viewpoints to Aunt Maggie. She'll think that we don't want her.
I just want you to be aware that our life will not be the same.
People build houses every day. You're always seeing some house going up.
Uh-huh. And what you don't see is the husband and wife losing their minds because this hasn't arrived or that hasn't arrived.
I don't know what you mean. The houses get built.
And it's wintertime, but the furnace hasn't arrived, or the new well doesn't have any water after all, or when they turned on the water, it came out of the ceiling.
You're making this up.
Dear, the Wilsons had their whole house built before somebody noticed there were no stairs going to the basement.
Well.
And the Pembertons hadn't been in their house a month before they suddenly had no water, and they couldn't even find the pump.
Where was it?
Under the blacktop driveway, all of which had to be dug up
after
they located the plumber. Who was vacationing in Bermuda.
Oh, well, we're not going to have all these problems. We're simply fixing up the upstairs of the garage for an apartment for Aunt Maggie. One big room with bath. We have electricity already in the garage. We have our well. We just need a plumber. What's going to be such a big problem? I don't understand it.
Bob, really? Peg, where are you?
I've
got a new idea.
We're in the kitchen, Aunt Maggie.
That is going to be our big problem.
Now, don't say anything. What's your idea, Maggie?
I just had the most wonderful idea.
What is it? I'll warm up the coffee. I thought you'd eaten.
I have. I've been upstairs in the garage.
You have? I just said to Bob that as long as his ankle felt better today, We should all go up there and decide what could be done.
Oh, I know just the way I want it.
Yeah, well, Aunt Maggie, we have to check wires and plumbing and that sort of thing,
of course.
You know.
And I want you both to come look at it with me. I really have some marvelous ideas.
Yeah, well, we can't make too many structural changes, Aunt Maggie, or we'll really run into money.
Well, now, don't forget, I'm paying for it.
Yes, I know, but just the same.
I want a really big picture window.
Picture window?
Uh-huh.
Where?
On the east side. So the sun comes in. It'll make everything so bright and cheerful.
Look, Aunt Maggie, I'm not an architect, but I feel that before
we... need an architect.
You can't put a picture window in there without doing something about the roof.
What?
And you have to figure out your cross beams and the supports and Lord knows what else.
Dear, now what did I tell you? Now let's go out to the garage and just listen to Aunt Maggie's ideas. Come on, here's a jack.
Oh, I really have some wonderful ones. First of all, I want to strike out that wall.
Oh?
What wall? Oh, boy. I think what's going to strike out is me.
Oh, come on, dear.
I sweep my floor and I still hear sugar underfoot. I hate that straw broom.
That's the kind of dirt straw brooms miss. But an Oceder angler broom would get it. Angler bristles are cut on an angle to keep more tips on the floor, and the tips are closer together. Oceder angler gets the dirt other brooms miss.
Oceder makes your life easier.
What do you hear from your floor?
Not a sound. Oceder makes your life easier.
Hi, I'm the teacher, and that's Roland Gibbs on drums. He drew my picture last week with gray hair. Me, with 11 grays. I gave hair coloring a second thought. I found out about Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It has no peroxide, doesn't change my natural color, and it's good for my hair. Loving Care covered my grays and made my hair softer and shinier. Gotta give the kid credit.
Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It's good for your hair.
Well, it certainly is cold up here over the garage. Are we going to be able to heat it sufficiently?
Oh, yes. Probably put in electric heat.
Mm. No. Well, we might have some electric heat, perhaps for emergencies, but I think I would like a really old-fashioned wood stove.
Oh, yeah.
And, Maggie, then we will have to have a chimney.
Of course.
Do you have any idea what it'll cost to put in a chimney?
Well, I have to have a fireplace, then I'll have to have a chimney anyhow.
A fireplace?
Certainly.
Well, let's just listen to what Aunt Maggie wants, honey. You know,
I'm paying for it.
Yes, I know, Aunt Maggie, but I don't think you realize
then,
that you can...
a picture window over there.
Aunt Maggie...
Here.
Okay.
Now, a picture window over there, maybe one over there, but I don't have to have that. And then instead of having one big room, as I first thought, I want to put a partition across here.
Uh-huh.
I think it's nice to have one's own bedroom. I don't really want to be making up a bed every day the way you do it if it's in your living room.
No, I think that's a nuisance, too.
And then strike off that wall.
Uh-huh.
That wall?
Yes.
What do you mean, strike it out?
Just push it out.
But there's nothing underneath. The garage ends there.
Well, I'll have a little porch underneath with a patio and a trellis, and I can grow some morning glory.
Oh, that sounds nice. morning glory.
Nice. You can't just strike out a wall when it's not going anywhere.
Of course it's going somewhere. I need a storeroom and a laundry room. I don't want those machines, washing machine, dryer, in the same room I'm living in.
Well, Aunt Maggie, when you have a washing machine, you have to have plumbing, pipes, electricity.
Well, the man who does it all, he can figure that out. Those are details.
Aunt Maggie, you can't just build a room on a second story over nothing, especially when you want plumbing facilities.
Just listen to Aunt Maggie's ideas.
I want a fireplace over here.
I'm sorry to be so persistent about details, but you can't have your fireplace over here. It'll need a chimney.
I know that.
But our garage doors are right under here.
Uh-huh.
You can't have a chimney.
Well, the chimney doesn't have to go down to the ground, does it? Can't it start up here and then...
No, it can't.
Why?
A chimney is made of bricks, right?
I thought I would like stone, field stone.
That's even heavier. What, may I ask, is it going to rest on? Thin air?
Honey, why don't you go back in the house? I think your ankle's bothering. You've been walking around too much.
It isn't my ankle that's bothering me. It's the idiotic way women plan what they want when you have absolutely no conception of the problems that have to be faced. You have to take into consideration wires, plumbing, cross beams, supports.
Well, I've drawn up a sort of ground plan of what I want, and I'll just show it to the contractor we get to do the job. Here, it's just a rough sketch. but I'll explain it to you.
Oh, look, dear. Aunt Meg even has her furniture the way she wants it.
Oh, it's just a rough idea. Now, cupboards over here.
Cupboards.
Then an arched doorway with bookcases on either side.
Bookcases, yeah.
It's amazing to me that women who are so down-to-earth, so practical in every other way, just go hog wild, lose their heads completely over any kind of building plan.
Very nice.
Did you hear what I said?
Oh, I like that. Two big bay windows.
So I can keep my plants in the geraniums and African violets.
Oh, yes.
Did you hear what I said?
I love that. What are you putting over here?
Well, you two go ahead and dream while you can, because there's going to be a very rude awakening.
The Little Things in Life with Peg Lynch and Bob Dryden and Margaret Hamilton as Aunt Maggie was written by Peg Lynch, directed by Warren Somerville, produced by Dick Cox and Peg Lynch, and has been brought to you by Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. I'm Charles Woods. Comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
To have and to hold. To have and to hold. The story of the traditional vows, the new morality, and the people caught in the conflict between them. Brought to you by Natural Wear Miss Clairol. To know you're the best you can be. Here's a special invitation to every woman and child who has ever appeared in a Miss Clairol advertisement, print, television, or packaging. Miss Clairol and Woman's Day Magazine cordially invite you to join us at a gala reunion to celebrate Miss Clairol's 25th anniversary. All former models, please contact Miss Clairol or Woman's Day at Box 333A, FDR Station, New York, New York, 10022. The search is on for former Miss Clairol models.
Julie, I haven't had this in years.
Mom, you're doing fine.
Shut up, Peg.
5 minutes, Claude.
Let's sit down. We're meeting your father for dinner. How do I look?
You always look pretty.
Thanks, sweetheart.
Especially your hair. Mom, the class is starting.
Oh. Even when you can't hold up any longer, your hair can with Final Net. Final Net is not an aerosol. There's no wasteful propellant. It's concentrated to hold your hair all day. Final Net holds up longer than you do.
There's absolutely nothing in the papers.
Are you looking in the right section, Kurt?
Help wanted. It's as clear as...
Darling, don't be discouraged. Look, it's not going to help you find something when you're so depressed.
And the only way to get rid of my depression is to find something.
Have you, talked to Daddy?
Should I have to? He knows I'm looking for something to do.
But still, if you asked him...
When crawling, you mean?
No, I didn't mean that.
Every night, we all sit around the dinner table, and your father tells us of the clever legal tricks he's pulled off, and you...
Kurt, that is not fair. Why shouldn't Daddy talk about his work?
No reason at all, but it makes me feel like an idiot. Sitting there at his table, being expected to applaud his successes.
Oh, only that Swiss franchise hadn't fallen through. Whatever happened there? Why did that, what's her name, Madame Scott, go back to Zurich? Zurich. Kurt, did you know her before?
No, of course not.
Oh, I just wondered. You and I spent so much time in Zurich, I thought maybe...
Zurich is not exactly a country town.
Oh, I know that. Look, darling, you have so many talents.
But not for making money. The only way to make money out of skiing is to own a lodge or a ski shop.
But that would take us away from Chicago.
I thought you wanted to get away from your father.
I just want our own apartment. Living here with Daddy and Caroline and Anne is... Well, it's almost as though I weren't married at all.
I could go out to Aspen. There's bound to be some action there.
Well, darling, no. You don't want to go back to being a skiing instructor.
That's what I know best.
I saw you teaching Anne the other day. You are a good teacher.
Your sister, stepsister, is a good pupil.
Did you know that she's been dating Dr. Gonzalez?
No. You mean that doctor who saved Jennifer? Oh, and gave you that great newspaper story?
Oh, come on, Kurt. Don't begrudge me the fun of doing what I do well.
Maybe I should go to Aspen.
Oh, darling.
It's what I do well. Hustle up and down the ski slopes.
I'd hate to leave the Jefferson newsletter. Now that I've got it going...
Well, you could stay here.
Oh, no. If you go, I go.
Only until I get settled.
You weren't thinking of moving out there permanently.
No, nothing like that. Just for the skiing season, for what it's worth.
But that's what you were doing before. I thought things would be different after we were married.
So did I. But the best laid plans don't always work out.
So, do we have time for another cup of coffee, Angela?
Oh, I think so. Trish is on the desk, and she knows where I am.
Well, how have you been?
What do you mean, Joe? You see me practically every day.
That's true. And in the past week, you've looked exhausted.
Oh, I guess it's the post-holiday letdown.
Is it?
Well, you don't look so hot yourself.
I know. But I have a good reason.
Mm-hmm. And I'll bet I know what or who it is. Anne Baldwin.
Where did you hear that?
Oh, I don't know exactly. I think her mother, Caroline, told Emily.
Enough. A hospital is just about as private as a Mexican village.
If you want privacy, you don't date the sister of the chief of medical services.
Well, I thought she was Jason's stepsister.
Well, they haven't been that fussy about it.
In our village, when you started, as we call it, walking out with a young lady, everyone knew it. From the priest right down to the shoemaker.
Tell me, do you plan on going back there after you finish your residency?
I don't know. The village has changed so much.
Where will you practice?
Chicago, probably.
Marsh tells me you're going to transfer to pediatrics.
Yes. We are recognizing more and more that the first years, even months of life, make the difference between a child growing up to be healthy and bright or sick and apathetic.
You mean early brain damage?
Yes, along with all the factors that led to it.
Jennifer certainly made a quick recovery for whatever damage she suffered due to the long immersion.
Oh, yes. She's a perfect example of a child being so healthy to start with that she was able to handle a problem that would have overwhelmed a less fortunate child. And, of course, her mother was a big factor, too.
Mm-hmm.
How is Emily?
Emily? Oh, she...
Do you know what's wrong with her?
Emily? Joe, you know better than that.
No, I don't.
You saw Emily at Christmas time.
Yes, I did, Angela, but... Well, look, I'm not a family member. I met your sister for the first time because she was Dr. Foster's patient when she was in Jefferson for tests.
Then as a doctor, you know her case.
I just supervised the tests. I didn't interpret them. And anyway, as you know, there was no diagnosis. Dr. Foster found nothing.
That's right.
And still your sister is sick.
Well, maybe Dr. Zabel...
Oh, yes. The distant, all-powerful Dr. Zabel.
Look, I'd better be getting back to the desk.
Yes, I'll go up with you.
Have you seen Marsh today?
Yes, I think he's in his office now.
You know, Jason's scheduling Jennifer for some tests to see if the brain damage is repairing itself.
Oh, here's the elevator.
Oh, thanks.
Do you know where the next step is?
For Jennifer?
No, for her mother.
Well, that's up to Marsh and Jason, I guess.
What does Emily say?
Well, she's leaving it up to them, I guess.
That doesn't sound like her. She's not your passive type.
No, she isn't. Oh, Joan. Trish left for lunch?
Yes, Angela.
Is, Dr. Foster in his office?
I think so. I'll see you later, Joe.
Fine. Oh, Angela, if you need me at all.
Thanks, Joe.
Yes, come in. Oh, Angela, I've been looking for you.
Hello, Marsh.
Have you had lunch yet?
I just finished. Joe Gonzalez and I grabbed a bite in the coffee shop.
Oh, and I wanted to take you over to Riley's Ranch.
Well, next time, okay?
Tomorrow?
I suppose so.
What's the matter?
Marsh, I just can't get over what's happened to Emily.
That's what I thought.
I hear it over and over again. Emily's saying she has a brain tumor. Oh, Marsh, it just doesn't make sense.
I know.
She's young and she's needed. She has everything to live for.
Angela, we'll do everything we can for her. You know that we won't give up.
But what can you do? You said you can't operate.
Well, discoveries are being made all the time. But you can't give up. Emily hasn't. She has every intention of living as full a life as she can.
Marsh, how can you stand it?
What do you mean?
You're a doctor. You're supposed to cure people.
Yes. We do what we can.
And when that's not enough?
We're human beings too, Angela. We're not God.
Oh, I don't think I can face it. Seeing her get weaker and weaker.
If Emily can live with it, why can't you?
You know, I don't think Emily really believes that it's as serious as it is.
She has hope.
She's still in a state of shock. She and Jason have had such a good life. I don't think she believes anything can touch it.
Angela, you just cannot take on all that worry and care.
She's been such an important part of my life ever since our parents died.
Yes, I know, but look, Angela, you have to think of yourself, too. And your life.
My life? I guess I'm just realizing how much I've depended on Emily. Well, all the time, I thought I was helping her.
Has been brought to you by Final Net, the non-aerosol hair mist that holds up longer than you do. This program has come to you from the Radio Playhouse, a DCA Productions program.